and welcome. It's our number two of our radio show, The King is a Hobbling, LeBron James. We're hearing whispers that LeBron will never be healthy the rest of this season and the postseason. If that is true, the Lakers are obviously cooked. We'll get into that and more. It's coming your way right now in hour number two. The King is Hobbling. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we speechify coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and very powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck, soaring on the red eye all night long here, hanging out in the Fox Sports Radio studios. And good to have you along for the journey. And so we begin this particular hour yapping about pro bouncy ball. Now, I could do an homage to a certain NBA rookie who put up a bunch of points for the Minnesota Timberwolves, but I've been warned by management if I spent too much time talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves, I get in trouble. But Anthony Edwards, well, a great game. Amazing stat line for him in Minnesota's game there. He had 42 points, 8 3-pointers. 42 points, 8 3-pointers, and rarely missed. Rarely missed for a bad Minnesota Timberwolves team, but that doesn't really need to be said, that qualifier, because they've been bad our entire lives. They've been bad forever. But our lead does come from that sport, specifically someone who we are allowed to talk about endlessly, LeBron James. LeBron James. Now, LeBron James came back from injury. He has not been playing more this week. He's taking the week off. Right, taking the week off. He's popped up a lot in the political world over the last couple of weeks. And this is a basketball monologue. It's plausibly a sports show. But we are told LeBron James, who's likely not going to play in the next couple of Laker games. He's afraid of the Clippers, so he's dodging them on Thursday night. And he's going to miss the Lakers' next game following that. But LeBron, according to what we're being told here, will not likely be healthy until the offseason. He's got that ankle injury that he suffered back all the way back in March. And here we are in May. Now, Woj informs us that LeBron is going to have to play with discomfort in the postseason. Now, the Lakers have already been on thin ice for over a month, slipping into mediocrity, in danger, the danger zone of having to participate in that Fugazi NBA play-in tournament. How embarrassing would that be from champions? Granted, it was a fake championship in the bubble, but then to have to play in the play-in tournament, man, that is a humiliation situation. So let us discuss the question. What do you make of the latest chatter about LeBron James and his ankle conundrum? So my take, I've got Pep Boys, wishful thinking, and Appleseed. And we will combine all of these things together. They are the ingredients that will form, when they fuse together, a Maller monologue, which will not be as effective as FaZe out in the bleachers at Wrigley Field heckling Mookie Betts. But I digress. So we lead off with this. If the report has any credibility, and we think it does, the Lakers are cooked. They're done. Eliminated. They are facing a standing eight count. Team's already been exposed. The secondary players are not good. Certainly not as good as people thought they were. Scratched, cracked, and warped would be terms that we can use to describe what's going on. And really, it's just a matter of opening your eyes. Anthony Davis came back, and people made a big deal about Anthony Davis after a win the other night against the Nuggets. Anthony Davis shouted, "We're back." Right, we're back. That is a premature celebration. There is a pill for that. We probably sell it here in the overnight. But Anthony Davis is back. He's back to being a ticking time bomb, the player that he had been in New Orleans. And that Achilles heel, tick, 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 boom. ready to pop. Ready to pop. Made out of paper mache. And then you got LeBron James in this latest speculation. He's got old man ankles, 36. He suffered now in two of the last 3 years, season-altering injuries for LeBron James. People don't like to talk about this because, don't bring that up. You're not supposed to say that. Now, the big beneficiary of that bubble ball was LeBron. He had extra time off for rest and relaxation, no travel, and he got his little Mickey Mouse ring. The Lakers need a tune-up at this particular point, and I recommend going to Pep Boys. Manny, Moe, and Jack, that's what they need at this point. And life moves pretty fast. It moves pretty fast, and I got to tell you, right now it's moving too fast for the Lakers. Now, furthermore, the tinfoil hat crowd, let me give you the other side of the aisle. The tinfoil hat crowd, they say, hey, wait a minute now. Stop. Pump the brakes. They've got a different narrative. And I'll give it to you in a nutshell here. Their argument is that this is all a strategic move. The tinfoil hat crowd, it's, don't worry. Don't worry. LeBron James just has to rest up before the playoffs, and he doesn't want to get criticism. You know, since LeBron took a strong anti-load management position, even though he practiced load management in Miami and Cleveland, but now he's like, no, anti-load management. So he's just playing everyone in the media and the fans. And he doesn't want the blemish of load management being used by the critics against him. So he's instead embellishing an injury. Now, this side of the aisle argues that his ankle is nothing to worry about. It's simply a smokescreen to hide a little vacation. Now, I'm not buying that straw man argument. I'm not buying it. I believe that would be wishful thinking. Remember that in that particular sport, more than other sports, titles are won not by the top team, but by the healthiest team. And just ask the Golden State Warriors about that against the Toronto Raptors a couple years ago in the NBA Finals. Snap, crackle, pop. Every team who makes the playoffs is just a couple of sprained ankles or broken legs away from losing or winning, depending on whose legs and ankles go snap, crackle, pop. All right, last thing here. So LeBron James, who is the big beneficiary of this well-timed, well-placed report about the health of his ankle. Now, one thing's always been true, and I like the NBA. I know people will give me a hard time. They bust my balls. Why are you talking about the NBA? Nobody wants to talk about the NBA. I like basketball. Some days I like it more than others. But the NBA is all about building up the myth and the legend. I've been very good at it over the years. And LeBron James, in this particular story, he is the Johnny Appleseed. Right, he's really, in many ways, the Johnny Appleseed of his day. He travels around throughout the NBA landscape, planting seeds. And if he should stub his toe, which we all hope happens, I think real basketball fans would love to see the Lakers eliminated right away. I think it'd be great for the NBA to see the Lakers eliminated. I think you'd agree with me on that. But if LeBron does do that and stub his toe in the playoffs, no problem. Right? You know, LeBron, you say, listen, I was damaged goods. You saw the story. Bad ankle, not my fault, plausible deniability. Now, if it goes the other way and the Lakers end up defying the odds, even though they're favored, if they defy the odds and go on and win a championship, then King James is heroic, overcoming a gruesome injury that would have stopped and derailed mere mortals, but not LeBron. So this is what's known as a win-win situation. Either way, LeBron's covered his bases, right? Either way, now we know the guy plays by a different set of rules, that he's insulated by the stool pigeons of the media, basketball media, and also the political world as well. It's unreal, and he continues to go about it. And we've highlighted the hypocrisy of LeBron James many, many times, the famous interaction with a famous soccer player when he said, I do my homework, and then a couple months later, had his pants pulled down because he didn't do his homework. But that's the life of LeBron. All right, this is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to talk about that or anything else, you can join us here. We'll take your phone calls. The lines are open for business at 877-99-ON-FOX, 877-996-6369, and we will have the obligatory Maller monologue on the cheating Astros. And the Yankee fans were back, not quite as loud, but still very saucy with the language there, and it was more rhythmic chanting for Jose Altuve by the Yankee fans. As the Astros are not handling this very well, and we will address that in a future hour. I would also like to let you know, in a couple minutes, I want to post this. I failed to do it. Bad job by me. But we've got Ask Ben. Now, that's coming up live on this radio show. Live on this radio show is Ask Ben. That'll be coming up in a little bit. But if you are listening live to the show or on the podcast for that matter, when we rebroadcast this show later on in the podcast format, I will post in a few minutes here on the Facebook page. So we do need some questions for the mailbag on that podcast, which will be up this weekend. So if you want to send a question in, we might use that on the podcast this weekend. I'm going to post that here in a couple minutes. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. It was sarcasm, but there was honesty in the sarcasm. It's all about effort. It's all about effort. We'll talk about that. We'll also have chump change. Chump change as well, which, and I'm not talking about my salary. Chump change. We'll go there. We will do it next. You know, I've seen Peter King in his underwear. Do you know that? Hey, calm down.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. Many call him the guy who answers the phone, but we call him the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. Yes, he is manning the phones. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
Komoto.
And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
All right, good news, Eddie. I have posted it over on the Facebook page, so you can head over there and send your questions in for the podcast this weekend. We have Ask Ben coming up next hour. The podcast, though, the mailbag, you can fill it up. Ben Maller Show on Facebook. It's right there at the top of the page. Good luck. Good luck to you. James the Machinist writes in, says, another Lakers monologue. Even though it was a LeBron monologue, not a Laker monologue. I'd rather hear about the Timber Pups rookie. The Lakers have stories to talk about for years, whereas the Wolves will head to Seattle sooner than later. Shameless Wolves fan, so says James. Well, I don't know about that. The NBA, I hear, is going to expand. They're going to add more teams, just what we need. So it's conceivable that the Timberwolves will stay in Minnesota and Seattle get their own team, which should be called the Sonics. And just that's it. And when baseball expands and puts a team back in Montreal, they should be called the Expos. That's it. There's no other answer. There's no other acceptable answer. Matt writes in. He says, is that a friggin' Pawtucket Red Sox hat you are wearing on your podcast clip thingies talking about Tebow and Altuve? If it is, then it's badass. Well, no. This is even better than that. No, not that I have anything against the Paw Sox, but this is a Portland, Maine, double A baseball cap from a hat benefactor who we hung out with in Boston. Had a wonderful time hanging out there at the Maller meet and greet a while back. So that's what that is. But I am equal opportunity hat wearer. Absolutely. Who else do we have? Let's see. Page down. Can't read that one. Mark's still sending these lunatic messages about the Dodgers. He's so excited. So excited the Dodgers have had a rough patch here. And they're not playing very good baseball. They're losing right, left, and you name it. All right, let's take some phone calls. 877-99 on Fox. If you would like to be part, 877-996-6369. As I reset my board, it is all about effort. It is all about effort. And I love the comment that came from Joel Embiid, who is known to dabble in sarcasm. He's known to dabble in sarcasm. So Joel Embiid, talking about defending perimeter players, big guys on the perimeter, said, quote, "I am better than any bigs when I really try." See, when I love that. When I have ambition, when I make the effort, when I say, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to dominate. I dominate. But when I don't have those aspirations, when I don't have the fire in my belly, no. I have to have the moxie to try to overachieve. And if I don't have that, forget about it. It's a good quote. It's funny. It's accurate. And you know how many other players in the NBA, like Carmelo Anthony's the same. Carmelo Anthony's one of the top 10 scorers in NBA history. But it's a guy, you know, watch Carmelo, even in his glory days back in his the halcyon time with the Knicks and the Nuggets, some nights just didn't have the enthusiasm and determination. The drive was lacking, and it was just kind of going through the motions. All right, let's take some calls here. Let's say hello to Blind Scott, who's in Boston. Hello, Blind Scott.
Hey, that's a Portland Sea Dogs team you have on. That's good to hear these teams stayed in business. I learned about another team where I always known about them. They're called the Somerset Patriots. They're a AAA affiliate in North Jersey for the Yankees. I got friends that are fans of those. Dude, I'm listening to Jim Gray's audiobook. It's called Talking to Goats. For those of you that live down south, he's not actually talking to a goat. It's called Greatest of All Times. But I don't like this Mac Jones dude that plays for the Patriots. I don't want any quarterback from Alabama playing for my New England Patriots team. They're like the least smartest state in the union. And I wanted a guy from up north to play for the Patriots, like a nice Maine kid or something. You know what I mean? I was thinking about moving to Portland, Maine before, but it's really eerie there and kind of creepy. And I didn't get qualified to move into the retirement home. I didn't pass the background check, so I'll be staying put here. And
so you're not now. You were planning on retiring, Blind Scott? We haven't talked to you in a long time, Blind Scott. You've been persona non grata on the show.
Yeah. Just been taking a break. I didn't like being in the fame so much, but now I'm back to steal some of the spotlight. I've been
so. Now, how is this now, Blind Scott? How is this the show, the fame of being a celebrity caller? How is that affecting your life in negative ways?
Well, I just get too much attention. Like, even around here, everybody knows me from the show. I kind of want to stay under the radar. Like, in the past, I used to go to these crazy bits for the show, and I like being the crazy wild man and everything. But sometimes you just don't want to be that person. Like, that's not always you, and you can't always recreate that every year. I mean, like, look what happened to Real Talk. The guy got canceled and burned out really fast. Now he has a kid and a wife now and a father-in-law, and he's a loser. You don't call the show anymore. He makes bad taste jokes when he calls up. You know what I mean? So I didn't want that to happen to me. I want to stay relevant. Like, I've been collaborating with the younger generation, like the Blind Seahawks fan. Sometimes I write some of the jokes that he calls up on the show and says, and I write his calls, and we team up together, and we might start a little thing. So
really? Just, so you are writing material for Emmett. Now, some have said that Emmett is going to replace you as the top blind caller on the show, that he's going to be number one when it comes to blind callers.
Well, that might not be true, actually, because next year he's going to be a senior in high school, and he's going to go back to school full time, so he's not going to be able to call the show. But you never know. You know, nobody can beat out Blind Scott. I have the hottest sports takes on the network, and I'm one of the best callers. And if I wasn't so busy in my regular life, I'd probably have the midday show, because I make so much content. I'm on Instagram at Blinded at Boston, and you can find me there. And I'm getting a lot of offers. I'm going for a commercial right now with maybe Chewy.com or Trupanion. I got this big egg on my head right now because I hit my head off a staging today, a construction staging. But other than that, everything's really going great for me. Things are really taking off for Blind Scott. You know, he can't be denied. Even though he didn't get into the retirement home, there's a lot of opportunities for him down the road.
Well, Blind Scott, you're not even like 40, right? How old are you? You're not that.
I'm 38.
You're 38. You're not even 40 yet. You're 40 yet. You got a ways to go to the retirement home.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get reduced rent and, you know, some good deals, you know, a nice big old place. But
I think you have to be at least 55 to go to a retirement home.
Yeah. But if you have a disability, they slide you in there on the disability card.
You play the disability card from the bottom of the deck. Now, Blind Scott, how's your memory? Do you remember when we got together in Boston a couple years ago, we were running away from Wayne and Southie, and we had Aaliyah and Paul were with us. We had a guy, our buddy from Toronto, and we sprinted out. Yeah. We sprinted out. We ran away, and we were trying to get away from Wayne from Southie. Aaliyah and Paul, actually, they were the hat benefactors.
That was almost two years ago.
Yeah.
We had DMX groupies. No, it
I know. He's dead now, DMX. He was that was his night.
Yeah, he didn't survive that.
Yeah.
Get away, your followers.
I know. That's right. The Maller Militia people were scared of the DMX crowd. They were running away.
Get out of my way, you bleeping white boy.
Well, he was the only one scared. I got to go, Blind Scott. Thank you, buddy. That was a wild night. Let's go to Ian, who's in New Mexico, and Ian is next. What's going on, Ian? You were on hold for 2 hours yesterday, and your buddy called up and complained, so I slid you up a little higher there. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Ben. I am doing well. I hope you are as well. I heard Michael's calling. I'd like to thank Michael for sticking up for me. He didn't have to do that, but he's a good boy. We like him.
Now, you do like him, Ian. So he's now it's very difficult when you have a daughter and he's out dating guys and whatnot. And but you're cool with him, right, Ian? You're okay with.
If Michael were to ever ask for my blessing, he would have it.
So. No. Unbelievable.
Okay. Whoa.
That's big. We're breaking news here. We are breaking news here on the Ben Maller Show and putting pressure on Michael.
No pressure.
Tweet that out. From Fox Sports. Cool. Tweet that out. Ian in New Mexico says that Michael will have his blessing if he chooses to go down into marriage, wedding bliss with his daughter. That's big news.
Tweeting it out right now.
They're a couple of good kids, you know, living in the metropolis of Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Yes, the big city of Las Cruces.
Hey, you know, I had called you yesterday because I didn't know this. You know who Larry Elder is, I'm sure.
I do know Larry. Well, I don't know Larry Elder, but I'm aware of Larry Elder, sure. Yeah.
Well, you two have something in common.
What's that?
You and he both have Dick in Dayton as a caller.
Is that right? Dick and Dayton calls Larry Elder. Is that correct? Wow.
I was listening to Larry's show last night, and Larry said, "Let's go to Dick and Dayton." And I said, I chuckled a little bit, thinking about Dick will not be denied.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was Dick in Dayton.
Dick won't be denied.
Now, did Dick start his phone call the way he does on our show and say, "Yeah, I was listening to Ben over there on Fox, Larry, and Eddie and Coop and Roberto and yeah"? Did he do that?
There is more to Dick than just Cleveland and Cincinnati. Yeah. He was discussing the intricacies of infrastructure spending.
No way, really?
Turned into a joke phone call.
I know Dick and Dayton. I've heard him. I've told the story before. I was back on the East Coast driving through Pennsylvania late at night, you know, doing it. I was kind of jonesing out as a radio nerd. I was scanning the dial, and I heard this station from Ohio, and one of the callers was Dick and Dayton. And I had a big smile on my face. He loves calling radio shows. People think we're making that up when we do that bit. How many calls have you made? We always say sports radio. I guess we should include political radio also, because he loves calling political radio. Yeah.
Well, you know, and if anybody ever says that your callers are somehow paid actors, I can attest that Dick and Dayton is not a paid actor.
Well, unless Larry Elder's paying him. I don't know. Maybe he's paying him and we're paying him. You have no idea. All right, I got to go. Thank you, Ian, for dropping that bombshell. Two bombshells. I mean, not only does Ian say that if Michael is good to go with the wedding, he's good to go with that as well. That's big. And then that Dick and Dayton, our famous caller from the final hour of this show every day, or every other day, calling political talk radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben, I saw this tweet from Adam Schefter. I thought it was interesting and figured I'd run it by you to get your thoughts.
All right.
Schefter usually sends out like the breaking news stuff and all that, but he had, he was pumping up one of his colleagues at ESPN. He wondered aloud why Mel Kiper Jr. is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, it might catch some people off guard, but Mel Kiper Jr. has been doing this draft thing for 43 years. He's basically created a career for himself and many copycats now that are draft experts, when he was the first one kind of ever to really do it, at least as far as on a broadcasting level. Do you think Mel Kiper Jr. has done enough as a broadcaster promoting the NFL in the draft to actually get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yes, I would put Mel Kiper in. He has created a spectacle out of the NFL draft. And you say, well, it's not all Mel Kiper, but a whole industry has been created, the draft Nick industry. Mel Kiper was the first. Remember, we told the story last week, Eddie, when the NFL draft started, it was on a Tuesday morning at, what was it, 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
In a ballroom at a hotel in Manhattan.
It was like Pete Rozelle smoking a cigarette announcing the picks.
Yeah. And, you know, and that wasn't all Kiper, but if you talk about having an impact on the game of football, and you know how much money the NFL makes on an off-season, non-regular season event, it's just, you know, a random day in April, late April, they have the NFL draft, and it's gotten bigger and bigger, and I believe in large part because of the contribution of Mel Kiper. So, yes, I think that's not an outrageous take. That's a good take by Adam Schefter.
I have to admit, when I first saw it, I had to
think.
You
were taken aback.
I was like, I've never thought of that, that he could be, you know, his contributions could get him in the Hall of Fame. But after thinking about it, I agree with you. I think he's just as deserving as a lot of other, you know, media people that have made it into the.
Now, I don't know how it works as much in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I know baseball's got, they've got the actual Hall of Fame, then they have like the separate
broadcasters wing. Yeah.
I don't know. You've been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How's that work?
I don't know. I honestly never saw the, maybe I, yeah, I'm sure it's there, but I didn't, you know, it wasn't something that I was looking to see, which is a little ironic, I guess.
It's not just the, it's weird, like, because it's not just the NFL Hall of Fame, right? I think,
Pro
right?
Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, the pro, not the NFL, just like the NBA doesn't have their own Hall of Fame, pro football. So does that mean there's like CFL guys in there and, you know, it's World Football League?
I don't think that there are, but I think there could be, you know what I mean? Like, I think Warren Moon's CFL career definitely helped him get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't think he would have gotten in had he never played for the Oilers, or
but who's this? I'm trying to think. Like, I know Madden, John Madden, the Hall of Fame, but a Hall of Fame coach. Are there broadcast? I don't know how that works. I got to look into that. I really never paid attention, but I'm assuming like Pat Summerall, who played in the Hall of Fame, is Joe Buck in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? He made Hall of Fame a couple years ago.
I think they announced it during an NFL game this year, and a lot of people thought, oh my God, are you kidding me? This guy's going to the Hall of Fame? I'm almost positive they announced this year that Joe Buck was going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
But so if Joe Buck's in, you know, with all due respect to Joe, if Joe Buck's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, then Mel Kiper should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And also, all these other hacks that have come along to make their money and send me their draft guides every year should, you know, send a thank you note to Mel Kiper for creating the industry. And he's also had some great moments. Remember the Bill Polian blow up at the NFL draft? There've been some great where Kiper just got just punched in the face by NFL executives verbally, of course. Anyway, all right, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on. So we have Ask Ben coming up next hour, and you can submit a question to the Facebook page for this weekend's mailbag. So you might monitor, that's a podcast. That's a standalone podcast. Mr. Nice Guy says Mel Kiper's hair should be in the Hall of Fame, is what he says. And FaZe in Chicago is still sending me random videos from him sitting out in the bleachers heckling Mookie Betts as the Cubs played the Dodgers. Robbie the Mariner fan says it sounds like Dick and Dayton is a true infrastructure expert. Can we replace the Secretary of Transportation, Mayor Pete, with Dick? That's what he wants to know. There you go.
Dick won't be denied.
Justin in Cincinnati says, I've got Dick and Dayton winning a debate on infrastructure against anyone CNN has to offer. So he says. Malaprop
right there, though. Yeah, absolutely is.
Malaprop guy writes in and says, I like Blind Scott. However, I'm worried about him. He says I have victory over pride. I know I'm the best. Of more concern, he alternates between first and third person.
I did notice that, yeah.
Yeah, we know another self-appointed king who does this. Yeah. Blind Scott was pretty mellow compared. We've gotten crazy Blind Scott. Remember when he went nutso on us, Eddie, and it was sending me, I think I sent you guys some of the emails he was sending me, just horrible emails, just over the top, just vicious, the worst of the worst. And he's still on the show. We haven't banned him. We haven't banned him from the show. He's still part of the show. Fats from Philly says, I'm getting ready to leave for Boston. Tell Blind Scott to lay off the coke. I'll be in Fenway Park for first pitch at 1:05, says Fats in Philly. We like to alert the authorities there that Fats is coming to town. So you might want to be careful on that. So from the chump change department, Kyrie Irving has been not the most talkative fellow with the media recently. Not that you've really probably paid attention to that. So the NBA has decided to punish Kyrie for skipping out on the Zoom interviews that he is contractually obligated to do. Remember, in the standard NBA contract, media accessibility is part of the contract. He signed the contract. It's in the contract. But Kyrie doesn't want to do it. He's a Looney Tune. And so he's saying no. And the NBA fined him and the Brooklyn Nets $35,000 each, which is outstanding when you consider that Kyrie Irving's salary is $33.4 million. $33.4 million. And so he gets fined $35,000. I hope he'll be able to still pay his mortgage and his car payments and things like that. We wish him the best of luck to Kyrie there. Wow. And what would it take for Kyrie? I don't think it's allowed, right? What would it take for him to actually be suspended and miss act? I don't think that you can do that. I mean, the NBA doesn't operate that way. That's not how they roll. So I don't even think that's a question that can be asked. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. We are going to have Maller to the third degree. Here's the Insta trivia. So the White Sox pitcher, Dylan Cease, becoming only the second American League pitcher since the advent of the designated hitter. He did this the other night. In 1973, the DH started to have a three-hit game. So this pitcher for the White Sox, Dylan Cease, and he's only the second American League pitcher since the beginning of the designated hitter, which started, it's almost been 50 years, 1973, to have a three-hit game. He joins blank. That's the Insta trivia, the answer, and Maller to the third degree next.
I'll move. Oh,
what a drop machine Marcel is.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Ben Maller is the greatest. We've all heard him say so. Then why can't he beat Eddie and take home that pile of pesos? He dominates the airwaves from Miami to Vancouver.
The Ben Maller Show is scientifically proven to help make time fly by while working the third shift. We have a track record of almost 20 years of nocturnal service. Help support our daily battle against insomnia by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your support. And out live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
You say Dick and Dayton, I say the is Jonas Knox.
I could listen to Raz croon all night long, but I'll be fired if I do that. Time now for the InStock Trivia. So the Chicago White Sox pitcher Dylan Cease is only the second American League pitcher since the advent of the designated hitter in 1973 to have a three-hit game. He joins blank. That is the question. What's the answer? Hobby Bobby's going with Nolan Ryan. David, who knows where all the good restaurants are in Seattle, says Diego Segui, Mariner legend, is the answer. Rob the Goat Man checks in with the mad Hungarian Al Herbosky. Who else do we have? Big Rig Rob from the highways and byways of the Evergreen State going with Detroit Tiger leadoff legend Brian L. Hunter. That's his selection. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, clearly cheating, got it right. Who else do we have? Justin in Cincinnati, one of the Cincinnati bros, going with Vince Wilfork. And again, the photography that you come up with is amazing. Fire Lake DJ from Michigan gives us Wilson Alvarez. Rob, deep in the woods in Minnesota, says Wilburwood is the answer. Mel Kiper's hair from Terry in England. Mallor Prop Guy's going with Steven Matz as his answer. Inca Terror, who's in New York, the classically trained musician, says, my girl Tammy in Montana, whose voice I have not heard in a while. Sounds like he's requesting a phone call. Alf the Alien Opiner is going with Gonzo as the answer. Ric Flair from Christopher the Custodian. Luke the Vending Guy giving us Bubba Ray Dudley as his answer. The Cuban Comet Mini Minoso from the Late Night Drug Tester. Eddie, do you have an answer, Eddie? Quickly.
Yes, former Fresno State Bulldog Tom Goodwin.
Is it Tom Goodwin? Is that the answer? No. It's not Robin Vegas' guest, Dr. Death, Steve Williams. The correct answer, Eddie. I'm surprised Koopa Loop didn't scream in my ear. I remember this from the old Anaheim Angels. Jared Washburn in 2001 for the Halos at Coors Field in Denver.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
So Marcus Peters appeared on Aqib Talib's podcast this week, and he went full attack mode on the Rams. Now, Peters said he felt disrespected by the team after they traded for Jalen Ramsey right after shipping him to Baltimore. And he said the secondary wasn't the Rams' problem and that they probably would have won a Super Bowl had they not dealt him. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah. Well, I'm offended by the way Marcus Peters played with the Rams. He's full of crapola. The reason the Rams traded Marcus Peters is that he was getting burned more than an 8-year-old playing with matches when he was playing in L.A. He was an all-pro with the Chiefs. He was, I'm not kidding, with the Rams, Pro Football Focus said he was the worst defensive back in the sport. So he's rewriting history. And listen, I totally get the whole grudge. I have grudges. I get that. He's from SoCal. They traded him away. I understand. But no, the Rams were not going to win the Super Bowl. They couldn't have won because Sean McVay was following Belichick around like a puppy dog. And Jared Goff pooped the bed. Next!
There are reports out there that first-year head coach Nate Bjorken's future with the... Did you know that he was the head coach of the Pacers? I didn't. But his future with the team is uncertain due to issues with players and staff. Now, it's his first year as a head coach, and technically the Pacers are still in the playoff hunt. Would they be pulling the plug too early?
No, it sounds like Nate Bjorken has failed the most important part of coaching in the NBA. As the great Casey Stengel said, you've got to keep the five guys who hate you away from the four guys who haven't made their mind up, and he apparently hasn't done that. Indiana just doesn't have a good roster. They don't have that megastar. They've got a lot of Sheriff Woody types. They don't have Buzz Lightyear. They need a Buzz Lightyear. Next!
Ron Rivera spoke with the media and revealed there were some quarterbacks in the draft that Washington had discussed considering considered trading up for, but they came off the board much too early. He also went on to express confidence in the quarterbacks that he has on the roster. Ben, are Washington football team fans going to be getting a full season of Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, they should. Fitzmagic was better than Tua Tagovailoa last year, and I have Washington as the team to beat in that division. Dak Prescott's injured. Eagles stink. I'm going with them. How'd we do, Coop?
You failed this edition. You failed.
That's a win. That is a win. He said win. He whispered win. Win, 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 win. Like the hotel in Vegas. Win.